You're listening to The Farm Report, hosted by Heather Hyman and Jack Inslee.
Happy Cinco de Mayo. What's up? You're listening to The Farm Report on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jack Inslee.
Heather Hyman.
And we have been graciously brought to you today by Edwards Farm, Surrey, Virginia. Visit www.surreyfarms.com for more information. And I know I wasn't here last week, Heather, unfortunately. What did I miss?
You missed a lot. Talking about urban agriculture, which we'll be talking more about today as well. But we had Ben Flanner of Brooklyn Grange on air with us. If you want to learn a little bit more about that project, they're still looking for some funds. You could go to brooklyngrangefarm.com and learn about what they're doing to bring food to the urban area around here in Brooklyn, Long Island City, and New York City.
Yeah, it's a Kickstarter account, right?
Yep, you'll see the link when you go to their website, Brooklyn Grange. They've got a lot going on, and we are really excited about their 1 acre lease that they just signed on the rooftop in Long Island City. And that brings us to, we have on air with us today, we have Aaron Fairbanks of Flying Pigs Farm with us today, and of the New York American Farmland Trust, as well as Nevin Cohen, a professor of environmental studies at the New School and an urban food policy expert. Aaron, are you with us?
I am. Hi, Heather. Hi, Jack.
Hello.
Hey, Nevin.
Nevin?
Yes. Hi, guys. How are you?
Doing very well. Heard you were here this past Saturday to celebrate May Day with the Brooklyn Grange crew.
I had a delicious barbecue and got to say hi to Ben Flanner.
Mm, those were Gabe McMackin's ribs, right? I think he cooked them.
They were delicious, and it was a great event.
Well, glad that you guys have all been down to the studio. Sorry we can't have you here in person today.
Me too. I wish I was there eating some pizza.
Well, definitely soon. So we've got an interesting event coming up in a couple of weeks, Monday, May 24th, at the Astor Center here in New York City, which I think is what's bringing you two together, Aaron and Nevin. Do you guys work on things on the norm, or is this bringing you two together for the first time?
Nevin and I, this is the first time we're working together. We have talked a little bit over the last few months. Was looking at different grad school programs, and when you're looking up, you know, food systems and studying planning and policy issues around food, Nevin's name is always at the top of the Google search. So I hunted him down, and he very graciously kind of helped shepherd me through some different parts of the grad school application process, and I'm excited to say I'll be heading to the New School in August. So hopefully we'll get a chance to work together a lot more.
I'm very excited that Aaron's going to be getting a master's in urban policy and focusing on food policy.
Me too. We need more people to focus on this.
Seriously. So what's Farm Camp, Aaron? Why don't you explain it a bit?
Yeah, sure. Farm Camp is a program that we ran up here at Flying Pigs Farm last September and October. Basically, it's a one-of-a-kind educational opportunity for professionals working in food service, food media, food and farm advocacy, food investment. We bring them up to the farm and give them a chance to learn about the challenges and opportunities associated with agriculture production and distribution in New York.
Mm-hmm.
We do kind of a bunch of different things. We visit some farms, processing facilities. We talk a lot about farmland and food policy. We bring in some real leaders in both those areas to chat with our groups. And then we do a lot of good old-fashioned sampling, eat lots of local products, and then get pretty hands-on with some actual farm stuff, castrating piglets, collecting eggs, touring cheese caves. Every camper slaughter their own chicken. We visit a milk bottling plant. All the time, we're talking with the producers, we're talking with the processors, and trying to figure out kind of how we can work to shape the regional food system into a food system that we can all be proud of.
Nevin, have you had a chance yet to experience a farm camp?
I have not, but it sounds like a really, really wonderful opportunity. I'd like to come visit this summer, though.
Yes, definitely. You guys should all come up. We should do a radio show from the farm.
From the farm camp. Not a bad idea.
We are definitely into it. So what is this Room to Grow event that's happening at the Astor Center? Why don't we talk a little bit about why you guys are putting this on?
Well, one of the things that, you know, when we were wrapping up, we ran 4 sessions of farm camp in the fall, and there was all this really great energy, and people wanted to get involved. They were like, okay, you came, you know, you brought us here, you taught us all this great stuff. Like, mm-hmm. how do we take this conversation and turn it into action? And one of our campers, Kimberly Koharki, is the events director at the Astor Center, and they very graciously donated their space for us to do some kind of ongoing demos or presentations for our farm campers and then for the general public. So we at the farm kind of have been talking a lot about urban agriculture. There's been a lot of stuff in the news lately. You know, you open up the, I think this Sunday section, the style section in the Times, there was a piece about some of Ben's work and Annie's work. Mm-hmm. And we were trying to think about, like, how does urban agriculture fit into agriculture in New York State? And, you know, what's going on in New York City, and what does it look like? And we had a lot of conversations up here at the farm about it and thought it would be interesting to explore that issue a little bit more with people who are really experts of that. And so we you know, asked around and talked to a lot of people and put together this pretty solid panel to share some of the stuff that's happening and some of the needs of that movement and figure out, you know, how we rally the troops and start getting some stuff going.
So, Nevin, what do you hope that to come from this this talk, Room to Grow, on Monday, May 24th?
Well, you know, there's a lot happening in the world of urban agriculture and food policy. It's really an exciting time to be in this field. And you guys at Roberta's are kind of at the epicenter of the movement. You're broadcasting information about food at a restaurant that has its own gardens and farm and is connected in a lot of different ways to other people, really trying to create innovative entrepreneurial ventures that will help to diversify how we produce our food and help to create an alternative to the conventional global food system. So it's very exciting. And what I hope that the Astor program will do will give people some sense of the exciting things going on and help them come away with some concrete ideas for how to get involved and how to change the system.
Now, Nevin, what are some of those concrete ideas? Like, what would an ideal model for you be in terms of food production in New York City?
There's no ideal model because I think a diversified system is really important. Mm-hmm. But there are lots of things that people can do, and it really depends on an individual's expertise, inclinations, interests. And so at the individual level, it might mean changing the way your business operates, whether it purchases food as an institution or has an opportunity to actually prepare food in a different way. And then everyone is a member of a community and mm-hmm. should participate in government, and policy is really important. So we want to give people some ideas of how not just to change one's own behavior, but actually influence broader public policy. So at the city level, it means participating in policy initiatives by writing to local legislators to tell them you support food policy. Chris Quinn, the Speaker of the City Council, is working on an omnibus food policy bill, so contacting her office and letting her know that people care about that legislation and want to see it encourage the city to operate in a different way with respect to food is important. Right. Writing the mayor to tell him that Plan YC 2030, our sustainability plan, should address food because currently it's silent on the issue of how our food is bought and produced. So those are and at the national level, I mean, there are organizations all over the country working to make sure that the next farm bill in 2012 mm-hmm. really supports urban agriculture, and mm-hmm. there are folks working to make sure that the child nutrition reauthorization supports sustainable food for people who are in need of food stamps and WIC mm-hmm. support, and that school lunches are healthier and use regionally produced food.
And Nevin, are there any cities in America or elsewhere in the world that really do have their stuff together in terms of policy and urban agriculture that you could point to as an example?
There are lots of cities that are doing more than New York is, although New York is actually a hotbed of creativity in the entrepreneurial sector, and also we hope we'll have some really innovative, progressive public policies soon. San Francisco, Mayor Gavin Newsom issued an executive order last year that called on all city agencies to look for land available for urban agriculture. That's exciting. Mm-hmm. Seattle has a PPATCH program where the city is investing a lot of money at the neighborhood scale to create community gardens. Portland, Oregon created a diggable city program to support urban agriculture throughout the city. And Detroit, as people probably know from reading the newspaper lately, is looking for urban agriculture to be a way to create economic development in a very depressed city with a lot of vacant land because there's been so much disinvestment and lots of vacant lots.
Wasn't there a program where one of the Ford factories, I think, was trying to grow a garden on a roof, or am I mistaken?
That was a green roof that architect Bill McDonough developed for the Ford factory, but it wasn't a productive food-producing roof. But there are lots of exciting efforts in places like Detroit, largely at the community level, to create large-scale community gardens.
Great. All right, guys. Well, we're going to take a very quick break, and when we come back, we want to talk more about how protecting farmland upstate might tie into all of this as well. So you're listening to The Farm Report on the Heritage Radio Network. Enjoy some New Knife Show. We'll be right back. Listening to The Farm Report. I am Jack Inslee here with Heather Hyman. We're on the Heritage Radio Network. If you are hearing this live, you can call in at 718-497-2128. Otherwise, you can always hear us on the archive at heritageradionetwork.com. You could subscribe to our podcast by searching iTunes for Heritage Radio Network or The Farm Report. We're everywhere, and we're here having a discussion about food in New York City
with Aaron Fairbanks and Nevin Cohen. And Aaron and Nevin, in a perfect world, what percentage of food do you think could be grown for New York City in the city itself and its surrounding areas as far as all the way upstate New York?
Wow. I know that Cornell, I think, just issued a food shed study where they said, you know, under optimal diet conditions, so like a particular balance of, you know, meat and vegetable and dairy consumption, currently New York State produces enough food to feed about 6 million people.
Hmm.
So I know Manhattan, I think, has, I don't know, eight million plus.
Yikes.
Right now. So I think that there's a lot of opportunity for us to be growing more and to continue working to look for kind of innovative ways to protect land that's currently available for agriculture production, and then in an urban center to be looking at kind of interesting spaces where we can grow food where food hasn't been grown before. I mean, on a percentage, I don't really know. Nevin, what do you think?
Well, we're actually doing that research right now. There's a fellow working with Grow NYC, Mara Gittleman, who's got a project to actually measure the amount of produce being produced in community gardens throughout the city. We don't know yet how much is being produced, but I did a back of the envelope calculation. I think that distributed agriculture is an important way to think about growing food in the city, so backyard farms using small spaces intensively. Mm-hmm. And there's about 50,000 acres of yard space available in the five boroughs of New York. And if you just gardened about 10% of that, not intensively, but as a normal garden, mm-hmm. you could produce enough vegetables to feed about 700,000 New Yorkers, given their current consumption. So it's not going to feed all of us everything that we need, but it could make a huge dent in our food needs, and it could help people in low-income neighborhoods supplement what they are eating with lots more fruits and vegetables. Mm.
Now, I hear a lot about urban agriculture in the city and protecting farmland upstate. Does Long Island play into this at all, and do you guys ever consider it in these discussions?
I think, of course Long Island plays into it. They have, a very kind of particular growing climate and political history. I am not an expert on kind of what's happening there in particular. I know American Farmland Trust is working area, kind of reaching out to different farmers there and looking at, putting easements on land to protect that land and to keep it in farm production. But it is, it's right on the urban edge. There's a lot of development pressure, and it's hard to tell somebody that, they should keep farming when they can and sell their land for, millions and millions of dollars. It's mm-hmm. another reason I think, when you're looking at the state budget and where things are going, why allocating money to farmland preservation is so important, because once that land is paved over, once you build a house on it or put up a shop, that farmland's gone forever. We're not knocking down houses to put up farms. Mm-hmm. It's the other way around.
Definitely.
And it also means building the infrastructure so that it's more profitable to farm in the counties that are surrounding New York. It means transportation infrastructure. It means processing infrastructure like slaughterhouses. And it means marketing infrastructure in New York City. Right now, farmers from the Hudson Valley are selling their produce through the Philadelphia market because Hunts Point is so inefficient, and they don't want to sit waiting for an unloading bay. So getting the infrastructure right in New York City is really key to making the regional farm economy work.
Now, do we think we have some of the right people to talk about this? I know we're talking about bringing, conversation to action, but to this event on Monday the 24th at the Astor Center?
Do you think we have the
right people to help, bring some of this to action? Some of these people that need to really help fix the infrastructure. Do we have these people listening to us or involved in these conversations?
I think that, people in policymakers are definitely listening. I know Nevin mentioned, Councilwoman Quinn, also mm-hmm. the Manhattan Borough President Scott Stringer. His office in February released a program called Food NYC, a blueprint for a sustainable food system. And there they kind of focus on, 10 different specific issues with action steps for looking at, food in New York City. Urban agriculture in particular, they are, looking to assess, like Nevin said, what land is available and how suitable is it for production. And then I think Nevin is working on a citywide urban agriculture program or plan through...
Is this the Design Trust for Public Space?
Yeah, it's an exciting new project called Five Borough Farm, and it's designed to create the first urban agriculture plan for New York City, and it's got two components. One looking at, as Aaron said, the available land and what's the possibility for urban food production in the city. And I'm working with somebody who's developing metrics so that we have good data on the benefits of urban agriculture. How much food can we produce, and what are the side benefits of growing food in the city, like getting youth involved who can learn skills and also really work together in a community and develop self-confidence. and greening neighborhoods that don't otherwise have lots of green space.
Now, is this project, like, what phase are you in?
We're
right
just
now?
getting underway, so it's all at the beginning phase. We'll be working on it for the next 18 months, and hopefully we'll be able to come back to the show and tell you how we're doing.
Yeah, that would be great. We would love to hear more and definitely see, you know, after these 18 months, who's involved in terms of, like, the actual, you know, nitty-gritty, hands-in-the-dirt work.
Yeah, and to your other question, I mean, it does. Even if Chris Quinn, we'd love her to come to the event at the Astor Center, but even if she's not there, the fact that we're having these events mean that political leaders are listening, and we're going to suggest that people go home and actually contact their local legislator to let them know that they care about urban agriculture.
Now, it seems like this stuff is doing a great job mobilizing the movement and getting people involved, but how many farmers do you guys actually work with and mobilize? Are they included very closely in the conversations?
That's the goal of an event like this, is
right.
to get kind of all those groups at the table. So you're in mm-hmm. a room with the growers, with you know, people working on the plan and the policy, and, you know, people, I think, also on the consumption end, you know, restaurants, consumers. People can kind of understand, like, what are the issues that we all share, but then also what ways are different and how we can best kind of support each other and think creatively about the needs of each group. You know, there's not a ton of identified growers in the city right now. I think mm-hmm. there's a really strong, some really strong groups and mm-hmm. a few kind of standout people, and I think as we delve more into the work, you know, more names will come up, and definitely, I think, be looking to learn from them.
So we're bringing out the closet farmer and people.
Yeah, and there are other groups that actually are the interface, too. Stone Barns has held sessions for young farmers to learn about farming. The Glenwood Center works directly with farmers on land use policy issues. So we're all connected to these organizations who are actually helping to bridge that gap that is smaller and smaller these days between farmers upstate and folks in the city working on the same issues.
Cool. So why don't you guys give a little more information on Farm Camp and where people, if they're interested, might go to learn more or purchase tickets?
The Room to Grow. Room to Grow.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, sure. So the event, as Heather mentioned, is going to be held Monday, May 24th, mm-hmm. starting at 6:30. You can sign up at www.astorcenternyc.com. Tickets are $20 general admission. We've got about 75 spots total, so there's room today. Hopefully
after the show we'll be almost sold out.
Yeah, the phones will be ringing off the hook.
I know you could take one ticket away from me. I'll be purchasing my ticket after the show. I will be there.
That's great. Yeah, so I think it's going to be a really interesting evening, and we're definitely, you know, all of the panelists and myself included are kind of coming up with our wish list for Urban Ag, trying to think of, like, what are kind of the top three things that, you know, we can say to consumers, to policymakers, mm-hmm. to people in the movement who want to get involved. You know, we're all kind of powwowing about putting together a list of concrete action steps so that we want to, you know, go to the talk, we want to feel energized, we want to feel enthused, but we also want to come away with some specific action steps.
Yeah, I really look forward to seeing, you know, like, the audience and the questions they have. Can you tell us who else besides Nevin will be on the panel with you?
Yeah, we're going to have Brian Schneider. He's the executive director of the Pennsylvania Association for Sustainable Ag. He's been working in that position since 2001, and Brian does a lot of speaking about agriculture in general, and he's really going to kind of set the stage for us, drawing a big picture of kind of what's happening in the Northeast, what are some of the opportunities, what's some of the history, and he's going to kind of shrink it down to, like, what's happening, you know, what are the opportunities for urban ag in New York City, and what are kind of some other models around the country and around the world that we can look to. And then we'll bring in Annie Novak. She's the founder and director of Growing Chefs, mm-hmm. Which is a Field to Fork education program. She's also the co-founder of Eagle Street Rooftop Farm, which is in Greenpoint, Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
It's a rooftop garden. They sell to community members, and they do some restaurant sales as well. She's our resident grower. Then, of course, Nevin, and then Catherine Celliard from EC Restaurant in Fort Greene.
Hmm.
EC has been committed, you know, since it opened its doors in 2004 to serving sustainable foods. They're longtime supporters of Added Value, which is one of New York City's kind of oldest community farms out in Red Hook, Brooklyn. When I asked Ian, who runs the farm, you know, I'm like, who's your go-to person? Who's, you know, your true believer that's been supporting you? And Catherine was kind of the first on his list. So we're excited to hear from her, from a consumer, you know, and a restaurant professional, and how she's found, you know, working with Urban Egg, and what are kind of the benefits and what she sees as some of the opportunities.
Wonderful.
Awesome. We really look forward to doing a recap with you guys and seeing how this all went.
Cool. Great. We would love that.
All right.
We look forward to seeing you there.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. I look forward to meeting you. Today was great. Thank you for listening. We'll have you on again. This has been the Heritage Radio Network's Farm Report. Heather Hyman, Jack Inslee. We'll be back live next Wednesday at 5. And as always, you can find us on iTunes or re-listen to this on our archives at www.heritageradionetwork.com. Thanks to Dan and Nat today.
Thanks so much for being on with us, guys.
Take care.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Bye.